At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders. Happy Monday, unless you get your butt kicked by Carlos Narvaez this weekend. I'm Adam Weinrib, joined as always by FanSided's MLB insider Robert Murray, and we are just about a month and a half away from the trade deadline, which means we await your questions even more than we usually do. We might have already seen the most impactful injury of the trade deadline proceedings at the end of last week, something that very well might change everything in a market without a lot of talented sellers. Who are those talented sellers? We'll break it down. Plus, one team is cursed again, and a series winning statement and a potential World Series preview. Here to break it all down with me is FanSided's own Robert Murray. Robert, how you doing, dude?
I am doing great. It is good to be here. Happy Monday. I also third the comment that Hunter is a tubby, so that's We're off to a strong start there. But the trade deadline is getting closer. I have a lot of thoughts there. Did drop some news or a slight little tidbit about Rich Hill earlier that we'll discuss, I'm sure, on the show. Yep. So I'm excited to dive into that. Adam, happy Monday. How you doing? Go Birds.
Go Birds, sure. Rich Hill tidbit. Lamont Wade moves late night, as he typically tends to. He made a little bit of a late night maneuver last night. We'll open the notebook for sure, and we appreciate anybody getting any questions in. Mondays, Wednesdays, for now in the month of June, 3:30 Eastern on a Monday, 1 o'clock Eastern on a Wednesday, and Eric Cole and I will be on the Prospect Show at noon tomorrow. If you have questions between shows, you can join us in the Discord. Robert does a private Q&A Thursdays at 3 o'clock Eastern in the Rumor Mill tier. All stars get priority responses in this chat. Robert also makes exclusive videos for our All Stars, so subscribe for that content and join the Discord. You can also subscribe to the Moonshot, our weekly baseball email newsletter, where the fan-sided MLB team, including Robert Murray, break down on the biggest stories in the big leagues with humor, insight, behind-the-scenes info. You can read all that and more on fansided.com/baseball-insiders. That is fansided.com/baseball-insiders. And no, I do not think the New York Yankees would consider trading Devin Williams. I'll go ahead and answer that one. To start, they have not enough pitching. They are not going to trade a closer who's actually showing strides of recovering. No. And the only reason they would trade him is if he puts up like an 18.45 ERA in the next couple weeks. And in that case, I don't think you want him. So no, probably not available. But appreciate the question. If Luke Weaver was healthy, if the bullpen was actually stacked, maybe. But I think right now, Williams, far too valuable. He was the only reliever who did not shit the bed in that Red Sox series. You can have Ian Hamilton if you want to, though, as an earlier commenter said. Okay, let's get after it. The Corbin Burns injury, which is the elephant in the room, which we knew was probably as bad as we theorized it might be in recent episodes. Bob Nightingale at one point said a reason for optimism, but then it was a second opinion, and then it was all the stuff that you don't want to hear about a UCL, followed by finally the devastating news that he is undergoing Tommy John surgery. I've been a big Diamondbacks fan for a long time. I thought they had the juice to figure out a way into a wild card spot, even in that tough division. Now they are three games under 500. Their Pythagorean record matches that, and they are without their ace for a year and a half. In a market without very talented sellers, where everybody's in the mix for a playoff spot, except for teams that have assets that other buyers don't generally want quite so much, this could be a massively important injury in determining the way that this deadline goes on the whole.
100%. Like, that injury changed a lot of things for the Diamondbacks. And for a while here, I've been optimistic that they were going to end up overcoming this and that they'd end up getting themselves back into playoff contention. And that becomes a lot more difficult without Corbin Burnes. And now you have to wonder, it's like, if you're going into the deadline, you have limited sellers and you're still out of the playoff mix here, like, how aggressively do you sell? And I don't expect them to move like guys that are signed long-term by any means. Like, this is still a team that can absolutely compete in future seasons. But to me, if I'm the Diamondbacks, I strongly consider moving a guy like Zach Gallen. And Burnes was probably the logical replacement for Gallen, because like, retaining him long-term would have been really difficult, considering how much they've ended up investing into that pitching staff. And obviously he's not had the year that he's wanted, so you're not going to get the value that you would have maybe like a year ago. But you're still getting a guy who's got tremendous upside. Maybe a change of scenery can end up helping him out and help out a contending team. So we'll see. But Zach Gallen right now is firmly on my radar as a possible trade candidate, and I think it makes all the sense in the world here for the Diamondbacks to explore that.
Zach Gallen also feels like a potential future. I mean, again, if I'm speaking out of turn, let me know. But East Coast past, I feel like he is definitely going to be a Phillies target in free agency, a Yankees target in free agency. The Yankees are going to open next year, if everyone stays healthy, with two potential lefty aces and no righty complement. They're going to be looking for one of those at this year's deadline. They're definitely going to be looking for one in the offseason. And Gallen is a New Jersey boy, I think. So it sort of feels like, hey, maybe the East Coast return wouldn't be so bad. Just wanted to float that one to you too.
No, I think it makes plenty of sense. And like we've talked about on other shows, like, the Yankees are going to be firmly involved in the pitching market. So that, I mean, now or even in the offseason, that can make plenty of sense for them. The Phillies, I expect them to be aggressive in the market as well. So I think both of those make a lot of sense. So as always, Adam, you make a good point.
I try to make good points and not bad ones, but sometimes when the Yankees are blowing Sunday Night Baseball, I start to make some bad points, and it is what it is. But the reason that injury is so impactful is because we talked about it on the last show, probably going to continue talking about it every show until the deadline. It's just a weird field of sellers. So many teams are so close to a playoff spot. Some of the teams that aren't quite so close were built for success this year and have no reason to throw in the towel yet. I would put the Red Sox there. They're four games out. They're only a couple under 500. Roman Anthony's still looming. Really no reason for them to give up on anything at this point with a weak American League. They're in pretty much every race. So why, while they're still stuck in purgatory, would they pick the direction of selling? They might hybrid, but they shouldn't sell. You've got teams like a team like the Orioles. Really the only group, you know, the Diamondbacks and Orioles are really the only teams who I would say you should sell, and you have enough talent to make it worth your while. The other teams that are defined sellers, the White Sox, the A's, the Marlins, the Pirates, I mean, the Rockies. There are pieces, but I don't think anybody's like, woo, thank goodness the Rockies are in sell mode. Like, I can finally get everything I ever needed from the Colorado Rockies. And we know in the past they've even been hesitant to sell when they should. So curious your thoughts on that, the weird pool of sellers, and could be a reason maybe a team like the Padres does something creative and weird, or a team like the Atlanta Braves tries to step in and thread some kind of needle. MLB put out a column today about the best trade chip on every team and had Marcelo Ozuna on the Braves. Couldn't help but note that.
You are spot on about that. And I'm going to – there's a lot to unpack there. So I'll start with, like, the lower – or, like, the obvious sellers here. Like, you have the Rockies, you have the Marlins, and, like, those teams, they have trade pieces. I mean, you got to look closely, or you got to look deep into the roster to find them, specifically, especially with the Rockies. But Ryan McMahon has obviously been mentioned plenty in trade rumors in years past. The Rockies have in years past also said that they're not going to move him, which that was really dumb in the moment because they could have gotten a lot of value in return for a guy as talented as he is. So they're going to be selling low on him if they do indeed move him. So I think something crazy is happening in Adam's background.
I heard Biscuit punch a door, but you know what? That's okay. He'll figure it out on his own.
Oh, well, that's not good. But hopefully didn't actually punch a door down, because that would be kind of a unique one for a podcast. But going to the Marlins here, there is a reason why I mentioned Kyle Stowers as a name that teams would check in on. And he's had a really strong year in Miami. He signed cheap. He signed long-term. And he seems like the kind of guy that teams would check in on just to see exactly what it would take in order to acquire him. So I'm not optimistic that he'll get moved, but I think he'll get asked about. And if you have enough teams asking about him, maybe one of them ends up making an offer that the Marlins can't refuse. So that to me is a name that is flying under the radar here that I could see asked about, but I don't know. We'll see about the chances of him getting moved. But the Marcell Ozuna mention, I'm glad you said that name, because that was a name that I also planned to mention here as well. And the Braves are in a really odd spot here. I mean, they're fourth in that division. They're only 2.5 games above the Marlins, who are in last place in that division, which if you would have told me that entering the season, I probably would not have believed you. But that's actually the reality here. And this is not going to end up being some big sell-off by the Braves. I would be really surprised as of this point if they moved a guy like Chris Sale or anyone who signed there long-term. But Ozuna, to me, makes a lot of sense. And you have a chip in Ozuna, who is one of the best power hitters in baseball. But he's hit 40 home runs and then 39 like the last 2 years. So he's got 79 combined home runs in 2 years. That's really freaking good. He's got 10 this year. So, I mean, not exactly at that same pace, but he's one of the best pure power hitters in the game. And if you're looking at the Mariners, the Giants, I mean, so many other contending teams, in my opinion, like that's something that they absolutely have to explore. So I would expect Ozuna to get plenty of calls. I would not be surprised if he's moved at all. As far as Murphy, I don't see the Braves moving Sean Murphy. Like, he's the guy that they signed immediately after acquiring him from the A's, got him at a really team friendly rate. I just don't see them. I don't see that happening. Drake Baldwin, obviously, like, really nice chip there, but I don't think that they're going to move Murphy. I think they really value what they've had in previous years when they had Sean Murphy and Travis d'Arnaud. Having two catchers is really valuable. It can keep both fresh. So I don't think they're going to end up doing that.
It is getting to a point where it's like we do have to ask these kind of crazy sounding questions about what the Braves might do. Just because there are certain, I think one thing that fans sometimes know the Pulse even better than the executives, because executives are taught to stay calm and realize that you're a few games out. And if a couple of things click and go in a different direction, you could be in a totally different position. Some fans just know, like, the losses get so biblical that fans are like, this team doesn't have it. A shakeup is needed. It's not over for the Braves this year. There is too much talent, but it might be over for the Braves this year if they don't do something explosive to shake things up. And this weekend in San Francisco was just the ultimate example of you cannot lose games in more disastrous fashion than what they did. They need to make some sort of statement in response to what just happened out there. And that I am still baffled by Craig Kimbrel being up for one inning and then back into the DFA puddle. I never thought Craig Kimbrel was a long-term piece of this Braves team's future, obviously, but what in the hell was that?
I wish I knew the answer to that. And I think it was a guy like beyond the halo, maybe mentioned it in the Discord that maybe it was the Braves trying to, seeing the Braves front office, seeing Snicker put Kimbrel into a high leverage situation immediately and maybe like trying to like disarm Snicker from doing something like that. I have no idea. Maybe that's just a theory that I saw. I have no idea what exactly went into that. But if I'm Craig Kimbrel, that is a huge punch in the face. Like, that's an organization that I've given so much blood and sweat and tears to. Go back there. And when you have other opportunities as well, you get one inning and then you get DFA'd. That just wouldn't sit right with me. And I wouldn't be surprised if other players around the league saw that and are kind of like, what the, you know what? I don't want to say that word on the podcast. I'm trying not to swear on the podcast anymore. But it's a really odd situation here with Atlanta because they're one of the best organizations, like, structurally in the game. Like, you have Anthopoulos, who is just a creative, really smart GM, who also is like very people focused. Like, he builds that roster with trying to surround them, like, that roster with like the best people involved. And Snicker is one of the nicest guys that I've met in baseball. Like, I've never seen him in a bad mood. Always gives me the right, like, or he always gives me the time of day whenever I try to talk to him. And like, he answers questions. He's just a great guy. But this one made no sense to me whatsoever. And also, speaking of Snicker, I kind of want to dive into this one as well. I've seen a lot of people talk about that the Braves should fire Brian Snicker, that they need to make a change there. Like, when they moved on from, I believe, their third base coach, like, that is something that they have never done before, moving on from a coach midseason. I would be flabbergasted. I'd be shocked. I'd be any sort of word to describe that if they fire Brian Snicker. Like, this probably, in all likelihood, is going to be his last season in Atlanta. He'll probably end up retiring. Firing him midseason, especially like during all these struggles, would be a really bad PR move. And he's done so much for that organization, so much for that city, that he deserves the right to go out on his own terms. So I would firmly expect him to remain in Atlanta throughout the remainder of the season. After the season, he can make a decision on whether or not he's going to retire. But I would be really surprised if he's fired. And yeah, no, it's not happening. I would be, no way. He's not getting fired.
Yeah, as the comment said, I would be flabbergasted as well. They will probably let him walk off into the sunset. They will probably figure out a comfortable way to do that. But you're right, especially in teams in need of a spark, sure, but there's plenty wrong with the Braves beyond.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brian Snitker right now. Some great questions coming in. We will get to these in a second. I just want to touch on, before we move on, the big interleague matchup of the weekend, the Tigers and Cubs, who are two teams that I think have done more than enough to make it clear they're going to be around for the long haul this year. These are two teams that are going to need trade deadline reinforcements, and the Detroit Tigers won the first battle, took first blood between these heavyweights in the American and National League. Whether or not this was a World Series preview, again, we are well aware these are strong teams that are going to be looking to improve and to reinforce the roster at the deadline. What do the Detroit Tigers need to do to take their roster to the next level? And what about these Cubbies? What are you expecting for both of these top quality teams that played a pretty fun representative series this past weekend?
Both of these teams are really, really freaking fun. And I made a comment a few weeks ago that I could absolutely see the Tigers representing. Hang on. Go ahead.
Ooh, baby. All right. Well, we got an investigation, and that means it's time for me to ramble a little bit, or try to not ramble, try to be interesting. So I might as well just address the comment that I'm reading that I was replying to in text. No, you do not need to keep minor league rule 5 picks on your active roster all year. Will Wilson of the Guardians was not even on the 40 man until mid-April. So completely different situation. You pluck them from AA and they join your AA team. Then you get to do whatever you want.
I'm going to hop on the phone quick.
How about that? Yeah. All right. Mute yourself. You good? Oh, or just exit and depart. He is gone. That is how you know it is nearly trade deadline season. That means it's yapping time. This means it's people commenting, the other guy is just yapping. Robert, please come back. I like that it took probably 17 minutes, but RG finally did pick up on what hat I was wearing, so I appreciate that. It's all I can do. I got to rely on other people to take care of my business, right? The Yankees can't beat the Red Sox, so I just got to prove of, I need other teams to take care of my business. Did Cotillo really say Roman Anthony just got called up? Is that what's going on? That makes all the sense in the world. That should have happened. Yep, there we go. That should have happened so long ago. Why did that take so long? Why? He's been ready for weeks. It's been ready for months. It's been ready for 3 years. That's almost definitely what this is. But I mean, I'll talk about Roman, by the way, because I feel like if that does appear to probably be what we're confirming and making sure is official. I don't think the Red Sox they haven't buried themselves, right? They've found a fine time. And for Zach saying he's scared of the Yankees, confirmed. No, the Red Sox play the Yankees again next week in Fenway Park. He's absolutely not scared of the Yankees. He's going to own the Yankees. But we're freelancing about Roman Anthony here a little bit because Cotillo tweeted it is possible that he joins the Red Sox today. And I'm going to assume that whether he does or doesn't, he should.
He absolutely should. I don't have any definitive word on that yet, but I am checking. It is possible if it does indeed happen, which I don't know. I got no like definitive knowledge of anything yet, but maybe we break it on the show today, which would be really fun. So we'll see, but that would be really exciting. And I really hope it happens, because it's the fact that he's not actually in the majors at this point is kind of not kind of, it's absolutely baffling.
Yeah. Well, this is why the Yankees are additional bums, because they had the opportunity to, bury the Red Sox a little bit this past weekend. And instead they won exactly one game, and one game is not two games, and you need two games to win a series. So oops, now you give the Red Sox momentum and they're facing you next week. They're going to have Roman Anthony on the team in all likelihood. While we're here, just, you know, question, how good is Roman Anthony? I think like it goes without saying, you don't hit a 500 foot grand slam unless you're pretty talented. In terms of the it factor and like the reason to believe beyond just like strong minor league numbers and good tools, like he's got really everything that is required for not just like an eventual impact, like Jack Cags, a little bit of an adjustment period. Roman Anthony feels like the polish is there at a level where I'm not worried about his immediate impact. But if he does impact the baseball early, it goes extremely far.
Oh, 100%. And when he eventually debuts, Roman Anthony, we're talking about here, this is going to be one of the highest impact rookies that we've seen in a very long time. And his power is very good. Obviously, we saw his 497 foot grand slam the other night. And he's finally playing defense again after the injury that he ended up suffering early in the season. We're talking, and this phrase gets thrown around a lot, but for Roman Anthony, it qualifies. Like, he is a generational talent. He is good as it gets. He is going to be a superstar player for the Red Sox. Whenever he debuts, I don't know, but he is an absolutely awesome player. And I hope today is the day that he gets called up, because the Red Sox have kept him not under wraps. Like, that's a wrong phrasing, but they've kept him away from the majors for far too long. He deserves to be in the majors. And he's going to be in the majors soon, but I cannot like describe just how good he is. Like, he is a phenomenal talent, and for a Red Sox team that is in need of a, What are you guys talking about there?
I think you're just freelancing.
Okay.
As a serial Twitter refresher, I think people are just going crazy.
Yeah. So Roman Anthony apparently just told a reporter that he got called up.
Correct. He's leaving a parking lot and he's driving away.
That's crazy.
So confirmation from the man in a car.
I thought I was going to be the one to break this for the longest time. So I'm bummed that I did not ultimately get it, but no, I'm glad Roman Anthony was the first one to report that he got called up, which that's a pretty cool looking deal. So, that's about as unique as it gets for the program here.
How about it? Well, we appreciate everybody joining us on Roman Anthony Day. I do not appreciate that he has to face the Yankees within the first two series of his major league career, but he does make, again, if you are a team who is hoping to pick up intriguing pieces at the deadline, this just makes it even less likely that the Boston Red Sox are going to help you out with Aroldis Chapman, are going to help you out with these one-year reliever deals, are going to help you out with, like, if you want to pluck off a Giolito, fine. But what this does do is give them an outfield surplus that just got even worse. Like, there's a reason that people are talking about the Jaren Duran thing, and there's a reason that we talked about Duran and Abreu in previous shows. So the deadline, again, Corbin Burns, like, the ripple effects of that injury are massive. The ripple effects of the Red Sox going to Anthony, which we knew was going to happen, but we were still waiting forever, are huge. There could be a star-level outfielder on the market now that wasn't previously.
100%. And I'm really curious to see exactly what they do here, because they can go in a few different directions. They can move Rafaela to the infield and make him a super utility guy. They could move on from Duran. They can move on from a different outfielder. There's a lot of different things that they couldn't ultimately do. Maybe they even move Christian Campbell down to the AAA. Like, who knows? Like, there's so many things that they can end up considering here. But it was long overdue that he was going to be in the majors. And the fact that he wasn't already was a disgrace. But good on the Red Sox for actually, like, doing this. And this is a thing where they needed to call up Anthony now and then figure out the outfield logjam problem in the moment, because he is a guy that can end up giving some life to that Red Sox roster, which honestly, it kind of feels lifeless at this point. But for me, like, having this kind of, my phone is just blowing up at the moment. But having this outfield logjam here, where you have Roman Anthony, where you have Jaren Duran, you have, I mean, all these different guys, it's a good problem to have. Maybe they can move one of these guys at the deadline to improve a different position, but Anthony's in the majors now, and it would not be a surprise if the Red Sox ended up, like, jumping or getting a jump start here and actually, like, got into contention again.
Yeah, my phone is also blowing up. I'm trying to coordinate content. It's tough. We appreciate everybody joining us on a crazy show. See if we can answer a few more of your questions, but it now kind of just seems like there's really nothing more to talk about other than the Red Sox doing. It's like, it's funny because it's news you knew was coming. Like, there was going to be a day when Roman Anthony was in the major leagues and we were no longer talking about why is this ridiculous specimen of a man hitting AAA tanks when he should be in the bigs. And so the content started to get repetitive. It was just like, why isn't he up yet? He should be. What reason are they giving for holding him down? There is none. And you were just kind of talking in circles, knowing that someday the move would be made. And the only thing left to say was, now he's got to do it at the major league level. But now it does get interesting, because now the Red Sox have a roster quandary, a trade deadline opportunity ahead of them. And probably, if he's as good as we think he is, which he seems to be, an outfield spot locked up for the next half decade.
Yeah, and like, their reasoning for not calling him up is they one, did not want him to be viewed publicly as the savior for this franchise, especially with how they've been performing of late. And they've also wanted to get him as many defensive reps as possible. They wanted him to, like, work on some different things offensively as well. But that was some of their logic for not calling him up as of this point, or until this moment, I should say, which I don't necessarily agree with it. I think you call him up and let him figure it out in the majors, because he's plenty talented to make it work. But I understand the point of not wanting to make him the savior immediately, because he is someone don't want to put too much pressure on the guy right away, because we've seen young guys struggle and people automatically write them off. And like, we saw it with Jackson Holliday when he got called up by the Orioles. Like, he was the number one prospect in baseball, struggled really bad, and then got called back up again. And I mean, it happened with Matt Shaw. Like, young players struggle. Like, it's probably going to happen to him. I mean, it happens to all these young guys. But when he gets this thing going, he is the kind of guy that can change a franchise. So I really hope he hits the ground running. You can obviously see the excitement that he had in the video there, which that's about as unique of a way of breaking news as I've ever seen. But Roman Anthony is here, everybody. And that is a really freaking cool thing for baseball.
Yeah. Good for baseball. Is he Carl Yastrzemski? I don't know. We'll find out soon. But I do hope he hits the ground running. And then I hope he fails on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then I hope he hits the ground running again. How about that?
There we go.
Just three games of failure. Three little games of failure. Come on, Boston. It's happened before. It'll happen again. No, he's incredible. He changes that lineup. They still do have pitching issues, but that's an easier thing to solve when you have Jaren Duran and William Abreu to dangle at the trade deadline. Just saying. Anything else going on, Robert? I know we wanted to touch on Rich Hill briefly. Anything in the notebook that you want to get out that is not Roman Anthony related?
Rich Hill is definitely a guy that we should be watching in the coming days. He has had two starts in the minors, especially or with AAA there for the Royals. He's got a 2.45 ERA. He is 45 years old. He still wants to pitch in the majors. And I know when he signed with the Royals, he thought he was ready to pitch in the majors. So if the Royals don't move him up to the majors, I would expect him to opt out and try to find a big league opportunity or something that would get him to the majors almost immediately. But I would not put anything past Rich Hill by any means there, because he's been doubted plenty of times, and he's proven us all wrong before. So June 15th is the date to watch there for his opt-out decision. So hopefully I'm the one that breaks that news. We'll see. Well, things are unpredictable because you think you're breaking news, and then Roman Anthony says it himself. That's not very good. But other than that, just a lot of stuff that we ended up talking about on the show today with the trade deadline and everything. So I'm going to be making some calls here about Roman Anthony and some other guys here in a little bit. But good show today, Adam.
Good show today. Thank you for holding down the fort. And thank you to the Boston Red Sox for giving us some juice for the back half of the show and some good questions from everybody. If you want to get more questions and join us in the Discord, we've got a private Q&A with Robert at 3:00 Eastern every Thursday. But we are both available in between shows in there. So drop us a line if you want to chat ball and you have further questions about the ripple effects of Roman Anthony's arrival. He's not in tonight's lineup. He'll probably be in tomorrow's. They're not going to want MLB debut him off the bench. So he will appear in tomorrow's baseball game more than likely and will probably make an early impact. And yes, I'm glad he is debuting against the Tampa Bay Rays and not my baseball team. But either way, join us in the Discord. Subscribe to the Moonshot. Fansided.com/baseball-insiders for more written content. I wrote about Roman Anthony earlier today, of course, ironically. Here he is. But if you want to read some silliness from me, you have every right to. But if you want to read Robert's actual content, that's where you find it as well. Robert Murray, thank you for joining me today of all days. And now do your business.
No, for sure. I'm bummed that I didn't break this one. I'm not going to lie. But it happens. It's the name of the game. It happens. But good show today, Adam. I appreciate everyone in the comments. Adam, I appreciate you. Adam, our producer, I appreciate you as well. And we'll see everyone back here on Monday or on Wednesday, I should say. Yeah.
We will be here on Wednesday when the Boston Red Sox cannot call up Roman Anthony and disrupt the show because they already did it. But we appreciate your questions, your comments. Join us for more rumors, discussion, impact, wide-ranging ripple effects, all that good stuff and more on Wednesday afternoon at 1:00 Eastern. Eric Cole and I will be live on the Prospect Show tomorrow at noon. If you want to talk more about Roman Anthony, we will certainly be doing that as well as following that up with other prospects we can't believe aren't in the majors yet as well. Like, Roman is finally here. He broke down the door. There are plenty of other names who deserve recognition. Who should follow him and who hasn't yet? Join us at noon. Join Robert and I on Wednesday. Man, what a whirlwind. We will see you then. Take care, everybody.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.